above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. On this episode, we'll be discussing our players of the week from round six. We'll also be having our weekly hot take, which this week is about which players never fulfilled their potential or careers ended too soon. We'll spend some time chatting about Golden Point. We've also got some phenomenal trivia hosted by Mr. Kieran Gibson. Before we hear from his brother, the Big E, announce the game of round seven, give our tips and bold predictions. To help me do that, I'm joined by three co-panelists. We'll start with Mr. Barley himself, back from a luxurious trip by the water, Mr. Daniel Friend. Hello, Friendy. Who is your player of the week?
Hello, guys. Just quickly, I got the boogie board back as well, so that's good.
Well done.
Yeah, a little bit smelly, but we're all good to go. Mate, my player of the week is, I think he was my player of the week before I left, Joey Manu. He was outstanding against my Knights. I actually watched that game at Denpasar Airport. The staff there at one of the bars we were sitting at couldn't work out why I was so animated, and it was because the rugby league was behind their head. So Joey Manu, outstanding, 300 and something metres, a couple of try assists, tackle busts, all that sort of stuff. He's a freak, and unfortunately we're going to lose him. But, yeah, he's my player of the round.
Yeah, just signed for the Toyota somethings in Japanese rugby.
Yeah, Mr. Sparkle.
Mr. Manu Sparkle. Yeah, big shame that one. A good choice indeed. I'm also joined by, as I mentioned before, the host of Phenomenal Trivia this week, Kieran Gibson. Hello, Gibbo. Who's your player of the week?
Hey, mate. And boys, minus Miles. Unfortunately, just for this week, probably. But I've got a honourable mention on behalf of Jack McDonald to Casey Badger, but I went with Pat Carrigan. I thought he was immense for the Broncos in a tight, intense first half, and his consistent go forward and effort was I thought it was great signs of an ever emerging leader sticking to his strengths as he ran for 209 metres, made 46 tackles, and had just the one miss.
Before Adam Reynolds arrived, he was the captain, one of the youngest captains the Broncos ever had. But he's an absolute star, Pat Carrigan, and he's really made sure they haven't missed Payne Haas anywhere near as much as they probably should have, given that he's one of the best props in the game. But he's done fantastic. Well, good choice. And last and certainly not least is Mr. Leichhardt himself, Christopher Waring. Hello, Chris. Who was your player of the round?
Good day, Bo. That's for Miles, actually, Mr. Leichhardt and Andy, the fair weather Tigers fans. My player of the week, speaking of the Tigers, is not someone from the Tigers. It's someone who versed the Tigers. I was going to go Joey Manu, but we had him, so my backup was Zach Lomax, who tore the absolute back three to shreds against the Tigers, playing very impressively on the wing, although he doesn't really like it there, but his speed off the kick chases and, again, ability to be pretty much full pelt into the jump and catch it, get the ball away, is pretty incredible. I can't really remember anyone as good as him, or at least as good in that game anyway. So, and that led to, I think, two of their tries, which was the difference in the end. So, yeah, my player of the week is Zach Lomax.
He's one of the absolute best under the high ball. I think of people like Tom Trbojevic can do similar kind of things, and I think of Jeremiah Nanai to an extent, but I think Zach Lomax might be the very best at it.
Xavier Coates, he's pretty handy at it as well.
Well, he's a great athlete, Xavier. Great athlete. Just fucking, just has no hands, unfortunately.
Thank God you all said his name correctly, bloody Xavier. Michael Ennis calls him Xavier, like he's in the X-Men.
Phenomenal. Quite. Absolutely phenomenal. Wow.
No, it is funny that Lomax's form has coincided with signing a deal with the Eels, given he...
And playing on the wing.
Yeah, and hasn't given a shit about his career up until this season and 7 weeks in, signs a deal with a different club that's going a bit better than his.
Yeah, fuck you, Shane. I'm going to play really well.
Shane Flanagan in the press conference, he was like, kind of had an arrogant kind of like quip. He was like, oh, oh, yeah, like, he looks pretty good on the wing. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, mate, he's leaving a fucking club. Like,
apart from Brian Toto, who is an obvious outlier, really, I don't think anyone's going to be close to him as a winger anytime soon. Zach Lomax has got, like, that kind of, like, almost best winger in the comp potential. I don't know why he doesn't want to stay there. He looks so good. My player of the round was the same as Friendy's. I'm going to stick with it. Joey Manu. And the reason I need to stay with it is because I've got to eat some humble pie. I remember for my tip going into this round that I tipped the Knights on the basis that I thought that Joey Manu was a, quote, a bit of a handbrake in attack. And he was not. He was not a handbrake in attack. He had his meters. Of course he does that. He does that every time he plays fullback. But it was the try assist for me. And the quick play, the balls on fourth tackle that really cemented him as player of the round. So a bit of humble pie for me as well. Boys, let's get change speed a little bit. We're going to go into our hot take of the week. We're not doing wild cards this week. We'll do the hot takes. Kieran, this was your suggestion. It was the most promising player that never fulfilled their potential or their career ended too early, which I thought was an interesting prompt. So, Kieran, if you don't mind doing the honours, who is the most promising player that never fulfilled their potential according to you?
I've gone with, a big name. So, I've gone with Jarryd Hayne. Obviously, he achieved quite a fair bit throughout his career. I just have to wonder, had he stayed and not gone to the NFL, I'm very curious to see what his career could have been, and if he was, a lot more disciplined within himself, I think he could have, really, really stamped his legacy on the game. I had, like, players like Jack Bird and Fleddy Mateo. I think Jack Bird is, like, another pretty big one. He went up to the Broncos, was given the fullback position, and then, tucked into a lot of McDonald's and fast food and had a bad run of injuries. But, I don't know, before going to the Broncos, I thought he was really good, like, had quite a big career ahead of him, like, a lot of potential growth that I don't really think he tapped into it anywhere near as much as he could have. But Jarryd Hayne did tap into a lot of his potential, but I like, there was like 3, 4, 5 Origin series where it felt like he just carried New South Wales, and some of those were from the wing. I would have really liked to have seen him stay in the NRL a bit longer, be a bit more disciplined, more professional, a bit of a better human being at times, and seen where his career could have gone.
Just a bit of a better human being, not raping people. Far out. Actually, Friendy, we were talking about Jarryd Hayne off air, and we were talking about some of the biggest, like, we were talking about the fact that James Fisher-Harris signed for the Warriors today, and we were trying to think of, like, the next biggest signing news in, like, the last decade, and we thought of Kronk, and then you suggested Jarryd Hayne. That guy had the world at his feet.
Yeah, he certainly did. He's obviously not having his best time at the moment, playing a few away games, and that's about all I got to say.
No, fair enough, but he was an exceptional talent, a good choice.
Yeah,
Kieran, while I've got you there, Friendy, who came to mind with Kieran's prompt about the players that didn't fulfill their potential fully?
Well, I've got the guy that set up 40 tries in his debut season as a 18, 19-year-old, Tim Smith.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember him coming on the scene, and the way he played as well, big, long spiral passes, awesome kicking, really good step, had a bit of a flashy haircut. He was unbelievable. It hasn't been broken since. I think the next highest try assist in 1 year is 37 by Cooper Cronk. I was just looking it up before. But Tim Smith with 40 in his debut season as a young bloke. The world was at his feet. He got NRL Rookie of the Year. He won a few awards at the Parramatta Awards night. They came. They were minor premiers that year with him at halfback. They got knocked out the week prior to the grand final by the Cowboys.
Yeah, 29-0, if memory serves.
Yeah, they give it to him. So, but he had a brilliant debut season. Was okay the next year, and then sort of, the wheels fell off after that. He enjoys a few too many beers, young Timmy, and ended up, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe points to him for getting in a blue with Michael Clark at Northies. and then, I don't know who would have won the fake tan comp there. then he's ended up having to go overseas, and Got let go of a couple of clubs there for gross misconduct, I've been reading, and then obviously came back to the Sharks for a little bit. It was okay, then went back overseas again to the Super League and was let go for him and Kevin Locke crashing a car into someone's house. Didn't have the best time, Tim. I think he got maybe a little bit ahead of himself after that debut season, but yeah, the potential was certainly there. Yeah, and he's mine.
My word, that's a great shout. Chris, who came to mind for you?
Luke Brooks, of course, until he turned his career around at the Manly Seagulls. I had two, one is a Tiger, one isn't. So the first one I thought of was Curtis Scott, boxing legend. I thought he was a very good player, and similar to kind of Tim Smith, just off field, just couldn't, you know, handle the professionalism. He was a great, I thought, well, not great, great's the wrong word to use, but a very promising player at the Storm, versatile in the back line, strong, big, had all the skills, just couldn't put together. And I'm actually looking at it, he only actually played 70 NRL first grade games, which I think is a, you know, gross underestimation for what he probably should have given his talent. The second one is a different, not more so misdemeanor stuff, more an injury. Simon Dwyer, West Tigers back rower, who famously had like the nerve, I think it's nerve, the shoulder issue with in his nerve, where it still affects him to this day. He does video for the West Tigers. He was a very promising back rower, and I think he would have had, you know, a complete representative career if his career wasn't, sadly cut short. So, yeah, I got those two.
I think they're both great shouts. Mine is probably in a similar kind of vein to your Simon Dwyer chat, where this might be a bit before the time for a few of you boys, but Adam Ritson was a front rower. He debuted for the Sharks in 1993, coached by Arthur Beetson as a 16-year-old in the front row. He was on the bench. And after a couple of seasons of that, he played City in 1995. He was in the front row in a team that won. His front row partner was Mark Carroll. He was playing up against David Gillespie and Paul Harrigan. In his team, he had like Brad Fittler, Tim Brasher, Brad Mackay, Steve Menzies, some really, really great players. And this, you know, 18-year-old front rower is mixing it with some genuine greats there, did really, really well. Come 1996, he's made a move to the Eels, and in a high shot from John Lomax playing against Canberra, he got knocked out, basically. So, you know, after you get knocked out, he was unable to keep playing the game. And after a knockout, you go and get head scans, of course. And during just those routine head scans, they found a life-threatening cyst in his brain. And he had to have over a dozen operations to save his life. So he did manage to recover his health, but he never got to play again. So at the age of 19, he had to retire after 41 NRL or NSWRL games and one game for City Country. He was touted to be one of the great front rowers and just never got the chance because of an injury, unfortunately, for Adam Ritson. Does that name ring a bell? I'm thinking maybe for Friendy. Friendy, do you remember Adam Ritson?
Yeah, I've heard the stories and stuff. And poor bugger, he was only 19.
Oh, that's so good. that's so good. Let's move on to the news. Chris, you mentioned that you wanted to have a chat about Golden Point, because we had two Golden Point games. A little bit of fun trivia for everybody. My bold prediction was that the Broncos and Dolphins game would be Golden Point. It was not. It was not even close. It was a 13-plus victory for the Broncos, and a quarter of the games in the round were Golden Point. So, I just can't fucking pick them for shit. But Golden Point, there were mixed results, obviously. The Warriors and Seagulls played out a draw, and they got 1 point each. And the Raiders and Titans played out a controversial Golden Point after a fantastic sideline conversion from Brian Kelly to make it Golden Point, and they ended up losing the Titans, so the Canberra get 2 points and the Titans walk away with zero. Chris, you wanted to have a chat about Golden Point. What are your thoughts about that situation and those two games and what Golden Point means for rugby league?
Yeah, I've kind of had a developing, I guess, opinion on this that's changed over time. I guess I was curious what you guys thought, but I used to be fine with it, but it's been more, I guess, changing over time specifically. And something that's impacting that is, I guess, the refereeing. So Jack McDonald commented, some friend of the show, very well balanced and thoughtful comments about referee bad job, and made me thinking more along the lines of, well, you know, these games, the competition points matter, obviously, and especially matter to a team like the Titans, where in the position that they're in, right, that could have been a bit of a jump start for their season had they gotten the 2 points in that game, or at least 1 point. And obviously, what's that guy's name? Chevy Stewart, is that his name?
Yeah, Chevy Chase.
Chevy. He was offside by quite a bit on the opposite side of the referee. Mm-hmm. And I understand that all of the reporting about, well, the Titans got more favourable, you know, they didn't get done for six agains and they were slow in the ruck, blah, blah, blah. I get all that, but that's during regular time. And I just think that if referees aren't going to be ready to call the offsides like that, and that would have won the Titans the game because it was a penalty in front, I just think it becomes a farce of rugby league when, like, that there's a clear, some, like, difference in rules or, like, the ability for a referee to control the game due to the sudden death nature of Golden Point, where it just becomes a bit of anarchy, rugby league anarchy, and I don't like it. I think it diminishes the product. So, yeah, I've kind of used to be fine with it, but I've kind of moving more towards, I think that if there's, I'm not even for like a golden try, I just think it should be in a regular season. If there's no result at 80 minutes, it should be a draw, 1 point each. So that's based on, you know, if a team's that close, right, they should, if it's even, it's even after playing time, they should take away some kind of point, not get the same, you know, if someone loses a golden point the last 20 seconds like the Titans did, I don't think they should receive the same punishment if, you know, a team loses by 60. I get the difference is, well, there's point differential, I get that, but it's not the same as competition points. So yeah, I've kind of developed into, I'm not, if in terms of regular season, I don't like it. I think it should be a draw. If it's equal after 80 minutes, it should be split the points.
I tend to agree with that point, and I'll add a small little bit to that, which is that I think games now have gotten to the point where if you're down by 8 or 10 with 3 minutes left, it doesn't feel over. Like, and it feels genuinely exciting, and it feels kind of almost like Golden Point, at least for that, or Golden Try at least, for at least that one team, and the other team is desperately trying to hold them out. And I love it. You know, that we saw that amazing Xavier Coates try against the Warriors in round two. The Warriors, the way they came back themselves against the Seagulls there, bit of controversy about, you know, the penalty goal, but I think it was a fair enough penalty. But, like, you know, Dallin Martinez-Lesniak scoring in the corner with a minute left, they were 8 points down and they managed to draw it. The Titans, very similar. I think that's the exciting part. Do it in the 80 minutes. I'm kind of with you, Chris. Friendy, whereabouts do you sit on the whole Golden Point issue?
Yeah, we kind of spoke about this last year at some stage. I don't really remember when, but yeah, I'm fine with the draw in regular time. I grew up when it was like that. Golden Point gets a little bit farcical, to be honest. Like, it's just a bit of a field goal shootout most of the time. The other option we spoke about last year, which is, I think I brought it up, is if you just make every game in the competition worth 3 competition points, and a win in regular time is 3 points and a loss in regular time is 0 points. If you go to Golden Point, whoever wins in Golden Point gets 2 and whoever loses in Golden Point gets 1. That's the way around it. Then someone gets something for making it into Golden Point, I guess. So yeah, it's you do that or you just have it in just regular time. Doesn't matter. I'm either.
So you don't really have a preference about either? Like, say, for example, if they came to you with those two solutions and you had to pick one, what are you going?
It's a good good question. I'd probably just go just the regular time. 80 minutes is 80 minutes, and if you can't win in that time, well, you haven't been good enough and you don't deserve to. So there you go. And I used to like the finals in, like, back in the day, and they'd play, like, what, 10 minutes a half or something? Like, yeah. It's like 20 minutes. They won't let them do that now because of, I don't know, player workload, and they've got to play Xbox soon and stuff. but they, yeah, I used to love that. Like the actual extra time footy, and if you score, the other team can still score and things like that, like rather than just the flat out golden point. Yeah.
I still remember 1998 prelim Eels Bulldogs. Para?
Yeah. It's staying on the line. Yeah.
Yeah, and Paul Carriage having an all-time.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was he thinking? And Paul Amounta nearly kicked it over.
Oh, God, yeah. And they ended up winning by, like, 14 points or something, the Bulldogs, because the last 20 minutes was just so dominant. But, well, actually, the last, like, 40 minutes, really. But anyway, that's beside the point. Kieran, where do you sit? Are you similar, where you wouldn't mind the idea of going back to a draw, or do you like the lure of golden point?
I was going to agree with you. I do largely agree with yourself and Chris that, no golden point. And as you said, like the exciting part was the last 10 minutes of that Warriors-Seagulls game before extra time. I agree with that. Yeah, that's where the entertainment is. The game is set for 80 minutes. And, I think it's fair for both teams to walk away with a point. But I like Friendy's idea a lot that there could be, 3 points on offer if it goes to, 3 points on offer regardless. But the team that wins in extra time could get, an extra point if they win in extra time. I guess maybe the only concern there would be, like, what if there is still not a winner and they're playing 10 extra minutes? But, yeah, I guess they play for that opportunity to get an extra point. I would be happy enough with that.
And now it's time for...
I hate this word.
Phenomenal trivia.
Yes, the children are screaming and crying and in a happy way with cheers and claps because Phenomenal Trivia is back after a long break, and it's been brought back from the dead by Mr. Kieran Gibson, who has volunteered to host and write the questions. So that means that I get to play with Friendy and Chris. So, boys, just remember that your name is your buzzer, and Kieran will decide who buzzed in first and give them the chance to answer. So all yours, Kieran.
We've done this before, did it last year, done it a few times. It's three questions. I'll just say the last one now is a who am I?
Editor's note. This is Bo. I'm editing the episode. And just an editor's note that Kieran did ask these questions. I did not know the answers to these questions in advance, but I'm going to simplify the questions because they were extremely long-winded, and I just want you guys to have the best listening experience. And instead of trying to edit what Kieran was saying, I'm just going to rephrase them. So his first question is, which two players in the NRL era have played 6 grand finals but only won 2?
Oh, wow.
Bo?
Yeah.
Dale Finucane.
He is one. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Do I have to get both?
Oh, sorry. Yes, and sorry to further. I said NRL era. This is going to give it away, but all right. The other player has played in both. Like he transitioned from pre-NRL era to the NRL era, if that makes sense.
Friendy, Brad Fittler.
Nabil, yeah. So well they done. Both played in 6. They both played in 6, both lost 4, both won 2. Finucane lost his first 3 straight in his first 5 seasons, over the course of his first 5 seasons, and then won 2 of his next 3 with the Storm. And then, Fittler played in his last 5 seasons. He played in 4, you guys probably all know this, but played in 4, lost 3,
2000 and then 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And they won 2002. And he already lost, 90? Yeah.
Yeah, but 191.
Yeah. 191, yeah. 191 and 2002.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to. That was the Dale Finucane one. I was not expecting you to get that quickly. I was pretty impressed, but I guess maybe the 6 grand final hint maybe pushed you in that direction.
I was thinking Finucane at the start. Yeah.
Okay. So the I think I'm curious to see how the listeners go, because I would have picked like a, or I would have had Storm players in my mind straight away. Like, even though they won a lot, they also lost a few. But yeah, anyway, the second question, that's so that before I get on, Bo on one, Friendy on one, and Chris on zero for now, but two more questions to go.
Hello, me again, asking question two. What you're about to hear is me and Friendy and Chris being really confused and getting new information as it gets unfolded. But basically, the question is, or the question states, that the Sharks are currently in first position after round six. In the NRL era, there are four different teams that have managed to be on top after six rounds and go on to win the premiership. What four clubs have managed that feat? What you're about to hear is us learning what that question meant in real time.
Okay. And the Storm and Panthers are not one of them.
Oh, sorry. So the Storm and Panthers are two of the four.
Yeah. And then the Cowboys?
Gus.
No, they lost the first four rounds. Or three rounds.
But the Storm and Thingo were, definitely.
Yeah, 21 and 17. They're both there.
Oh, Friendly Chris. Roosters.
Gus.
I heard Chris in there.
Yeah, I did. I did say. Did Friend just say the Roosters?
Yeah.
Don't say them.
Broncos?
Yeah.
98.
Manly.
Ooh. Nope.
Oh, St. George under Wayne.
Yeah. So I'll give Friendy 1.5 points and Chris half a point.
I'll get fucked. So, cheers, boys.
So
I have no idea how I'm going to edit that question. Holy fuck.
I messed it up a bit. So the who am I is, well, that would be cheating if I told you, but so he was born in Paddington, New South Wales, in 1981, and played his junior footy for the Emu Plains. I would not be surprised if Randy already knows. A second rower that played some lock. Rumour has it he could play a bit of hooker too. He made his debut against the Storm at Olympic Park on 17th of August 2002. Steve Turner also debuted in this game. He toured for Australia in Great Britain.
Friendly Trent Waterhouse.
Yes.
Sorry for swearing.
We don't swear on this podcast, Friendy. Trent Waterhouse.
I was just wanted to hear one more prompt, but I was going to guess Trent Waterhouse.
What, he went to the brothel in England and they called him Whorehouse?
I didn't have that down. I had
No fact.
That I would have led with that if I had known. Yeah, one of the few players to be sent off in Origin, represented New South Wales 5 times, Australia 12 times, and won the 2003 Premiership with the Panthers. I think he played in Super League as well.
I'd be curious to know if he actually did play hooker or not, because that made me think of Nicho Hynes immediately as soon as you said that, but alas. Trent Waterhouse.
I read out the score. So Friendy 3.5 wins on 3.5 points, and I think Bo, you ended with one, and Chris with half a point.
Well done, Friendy. Yeah. Phenomenal work.
Phenomenal.
Well done, Friendy. Welcome back from Bali with your brain well intact.
Thank you. Mostly.
Let's now hear from someone that definitely has his brain intact, the Big E.
Hello, boys. This is the Biggie. I'm doing my Biggie Benolo tip of the week today. My first Biggie Benolo tip of the week is the first match coming up this Thursday, tomorrow. I'm going to tip the Storms, Warriors, Dolphins, Panthers, Seagulls, Broncos, and I'm going to tip a Newcastle Knight for you, Fendi. Sorry, Monique. The Goose! And I'm also going to keep the Cowboys, as always. That's me, the Big E. And my wild card, I am going to say congratulations to Brisbane Broncos beat the Dolphins 28-14. Congratulations to them. And also, yes, wish me luck for this Saturday. The Big E baby will be coming first place. That's a Big E baby. Woof woof. And of course, knock knock, who's there? Big E, Big E who? Big E out. Woof woof.
Thank you, Big E. And so Big E didn't make a bold prediction this week. He didn't want to put Chad Townsend down for 8 tries or whatever. But it sounds to me like his bold prediction is that he's going to come first in his swimming meet on Saturday. So good luck to you, the Big E. And thank you for your phenomenal tips of the week, as always. Boys, let's move on to round 7 of the NRL. We're going to start with what we think will be the game of the round, or what game we're most looking forward to watching. Friendy, I'll start with you. What are you looking forward to in round 7?
Yeah, I think the first game of the round. Roosters Storm. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. Yeah, it should be an interesting battle.
What about you, Chris? What are you looking forward to?
I want to go the Bulldogs and the Knights. The Knights are at a bit of a dangerous moment in their season. They need to start getting some wins on the board, and the Bulldogs have been quietly impressive. Unlucky, or pretty close to the Storm last week. And Kieran's mate, Connor Tracy, has been kept at the back. So I think it would be a bit of a brutal kind of grind fest, that game. So I'm going to go that one.
Playing out at Accor Stadium on Sunday. Kieran, who are you looking forward to watching the most? Which game?
I've got the Eels-Dolphins game. I think it would have been a little bit better with Hamiso there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, the Rooster Storm game as well. Two of the best coaches of the modern era and two stacked teams. And yeah, I'm not looking forward to my Cowboys losing their third game from 4.
Yeah, I don't like that idea either. My game of the round will be the same as Friendy's, the Roosters and the Storm. And I happen to think, just to sort of preview my bold prediction, that I think that might be the only game that's close this week. That's a bit of a hot tip, potentially. Speaking of hot tips, by the way, boys, Friendy, you might be my expert on this. Do we count the draw as a win in our tips, or is that a loss because we didn't tip the draw?
Mate, I'm not really sure, to be honest. David Middleton, I'll give him a buzz later.
Okay, thank you. Let's call it a correct tip, because no one's going to tip draws. So I got 5 out of 8 last week, so I'm not particularly one to keep an eye on. Did anyone do better than that?
I got 7, and the only game I got wrong was the fucking Tigers.
Oh, fucking Tigers.
I got six, I think. Yeah, I got 6.
6, and Kieran, you got 6 as well.
No, I got 5, but it was my joke around on ESPN, and yeah, I thought I was going to get 7 or 8.
Unlucky. Let's do our predictions now for round 7. Chris, we'll start with you, because you managed to dominate last week. Who are you going for this week?
Which will definitely happen this week as well, as we all know, with tipping. So I'm going to go the Melbourne Storm tomorrow, Thursday night. Should be a cracker. I'm going to go the Warriors against the Dragons. I'm going to go the Eels over the Dolphins. Although I think I'm kind of opposite, but I think a lot of these games will be close. But not for this one, the Panthers and the West Tigers. I think Panthers will win quite comfortably, even though Bob Sullivan is finally gone. That is great news. I'm going to go to Titans. I think they're going to beat the Seagulls.
Oh.
I'm not kidding as well. I sense it. They're going to win eventually, and I think they'll be a bit buoyed by last week. So, and Seagulls are hard to get I don't know. But yeah, I'm going to go Titans. I'm going to go the Broncos to beat the Raiders. I'm going to go the Bulldogs to beat the Knights. And I'm going to go the Cowboys to beat the Sharks.
Jeez, a few upsets there. A few that I'd love to see, by the way, the Cowboys and pretend Titans fan. Friendy, I imagine you've gone different on a few of those. What are you going for this week?
Yes, I have. I am still so up in the air on this first game. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go with the Chooks. I'm going to go with the Chooks, the Warriors, the Eels, the Panthers, and not the Titans. So I'll be tipping Manly there. Brisbane, Newcastle, and the Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah, yep, get absolutely fucked, etc. No, not a bad tip. They're coming first, of course, as Kieran mentioned, and the Cowboys
What's doing there? They keep bloody winning all these games, and do they just play the hobo teams the whole season, and they get to semis and they just like out the back door? Well, it happens every year.
Yeah, it does seem possible, and the Cowboys are probably qualify as a hobo team at the moment, considering they can't bloody tackle. So, fair tip. Kieran, how do you feel about this week?
With little confidence, I've got little confidence for a lot of these games, but I've gone the Storm, the Warriors, the Eels. I think the Eels will win. I think the Dolphins are starting to realize they have to play a bit more consistently, but still just lacking in some areas. The Panthers, I tipped the Titans last week, and I'm very tempted to go them again, but I've tipped Manly. The Broncos, and I've tipped the Bulldogs for now. I'm still very on the fence about that game, but I have tipped the Sharks in the last game of the round. I don't trust... I don't know, like Drinkwater after the Dragons game spoke a lot about the Cowboys in the off-season not just putting in at training but realizing they had to have a good diet and have a good sleep regime, and it's bear dividends on their discipline. But you look at them defensively and they don't look like a defensively disciplined team. I think we might have the worst defense in the league. So
maybe they're overeating because they do not look hungry at all. In defense, they've played like shit ever since he said that. So I too am going to go for the Sharks, but before we get there, I will go for the Storm, I think, just as I said, I think that'll be the closest game of the round. Then I've gone for the Warriors, I've gone for the Eels against the Dolphins, I have gone for the Panthers against the Tigers, I've gone for the Sea Eagles against the Titans. I'm very curious about Philip Sami being named at fullback and AJ Brimson named at 5'8". I thought Brimson was really good at 5'8". But, I don't know about that. We'll see how that goes. I've gone for the Broncos against the Raiders pretty convincingly, I think, as well. And I've gone for the Knights against the Bulldogs. I still don't have faith in the Bulldogs. And I somehow still have faith in the Knights. So hopefully that pays off. And yes, no, as I said, I will be going for the Sharks, obviously with my heart for the Cowboys, but the Sharks have been a lot more consistent than the Cowboys. And until the Cowboys start tackling, I can't tip them. Boys, thank you very, very much for your company on this episode. It's been lovely to have four or five voices, including the Big E, of course. It's been lovely to have some comments written on the side here of the chat that I've been glancing at occasionally, trying to distract me. I appreciate that very much. Before we go, of course, we need to give our bold predictions for round... Here comes another one. I can see Chris typing. Okay, let's not. we have to give our bold predictions for round 7. I was going to try and stop you from typing what you just typed just then. Chris, what's your bold prediction for round 7?
Is the Titans winning bold enough?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Do you want to put it like a specific maybe margin to it to make it interesting?
I'll go Titans. I'll go Titans by 8. So eight or under.
So I've got Mulitalo to score 2 tries to round out a big Sharks victory by 10 points or more against my sliding Cowboys.
He has been phenomenal this season, particularly last week against the Rabbitohs. I thought he was really good. Could have been a player of the round. Friendy, what's your bold prediction this week?
Kalen Ponga to score 10 points or more in the game against the Canterbury Bulldogs.
For my benefit, I'm hoping that that's 5 goals. That means a high scoring one for the Knights, because I have gone for 7 games to be decided 13 plus. I'm not going to say which ones, just in case I'm incorrect about the first one being close. But I think 7, 13 plus. I think we're having a blowout week after a couple of close games last week, but we'll see. I'm sort of hoping I'm incorrect. Boys, thank you very much for joining me. It's always nice, as I said, to have a bunch of voices. Thank you to the Big E for his contribution earlier. And thank you to all the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, and if you enjoy big things like this extra long episode, please tell your friend. Tell your friend that loves rugby league. We'd love to have them on board as well. Have them subscribe as well so they can go above the horizontal this time next week. But until then... Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Stebbin, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time.